major NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country, sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now joining us here on Thursday night, Tailgate, is former Bears linebacker Chris Zorich. Let me give you some background on Chris. He's from Chicago, played his college ball at Notre Dame from 1987 to 1990, and helped Notre Dame win the 1988 National Championship. Chris was a consensus All-American in 1989 and 90. He was named UPI Lineman of the Year in 89. He won the Lombardi Award in 1990, which is given annually to the best player in college football, regardless of position, based on performance, leadership, character, and resiliency. He was named the defensive MVP in the 1991 Orange Bowl, which was an amazing game against Colorado. He graduated with his BA in American Studies in 1991 and his law degree in 2002. He was a second-round draft pick by his hometown Bears in 1991, and he played in the league from 91 to 97 with the Bears and the Redskins. He was named to the Pro Bowl in 1993, inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2007. And recently was named to the Walter Camp All-Time College Football Team for defensive linemen. And we're very excited he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Chris. Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Chris.
What a great introduction. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So, Chris, I want to start our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on the Super Bowl, because I'm interested to hear, were you happy for the Chiefs? Are you still upset with Eric Bieniemy for the 91 Orange Bowl?
It's very funny that you actually mentioned that. No, I've actually talked to and seen Eric over the years. And, you know, that game during the late 80s, Colorado and University of Notre Dame, they were always kind of neck and neck. And having the opportunity to kind of see those guys with Amos McGee, Joe Garton, Jay Luhlenberg, I played with him with the Bears. These are guys that we had a chance to kind of hang out with and admire and respect over the years. And so, although we had an issue in 1990, you know, it was one of those situations where we were excited that we have a chance to actually compete for the national championship. And I had a chance to win one in 1988. So much respect to Colorado and also Eric, and I wish him the best.
So, Chris, talking about Notre Dame, I'm curious to get, you know, the story behind it. How did Notre Dame, because I got to imagine there were tons of schools, you know, coming at you, trying to recruit you to go to, you know, to whatever, wherever they were. Notre Dame wins out. Why did Notre Dame beat out everybody else?
Well, actually, it's kind of a funny story. I kind of grew up in a rough area, and a lot of folks from my neighborhood never went to college. There were a lot of drugs, a lot of gangs, and things like that. So no one really, it was a big deal if you graduated from high school. You just went and got a job. So when one of the assistant coaches to Notre Dame came by my school, and he asked how I would like to attend the University of Notre Dame. And I kind of thought about it for a minute. I said, hey, you know, I would love to, but my mom doesn't like to fly. Now, I lived in Chicago, and I lived roughly about a 90-minute drive from Notre Dame. But at the time, I had no idea. So he said, what do you mean your mom doesn't like to fly? And I said, well, there's no way my mom would fly to France to see me play. Now, he looked at me and said, France, what do you mean? I said, well, you guys got the hunchback guy in the church, right? And you know, it was just kind of a crazy story because I had never heard of the University of Notre Dame. And what
wow.
I did hear, I saw in a movie, it was in France. So the idea that Notre Dame was this great school, which it is, I just didn't know anything about it. And so that was my first introduction into the University of Notre Dame. And so I'm sure the guy kind of looked over my SAT score. I was like, man, are you sure he really wants this guy? I don't know if he's going to make it at Notre Dame. So he left me some information, and I started to look at it and understand. And at that point, their graduation rate for their student athletes was 98.98. And wow. As I mentioned, kind of grew up in a rough neighborhood. So for me, my first idea was if I was going to go to college and a school was going to pay for it, that I can get a good job and get my mom out of the neighborhood. So that's kind of what my intention was, going to any school, let alone Notre Dame.
So, Chris, once you learned about Notre Dame and the rich history and everything that, you know, had been accomplished there by that school, you know, over the years and the national championships and the great players, you suit up for the first time. What was it like the first time you ran out of the tunnel at Notre Dame Stadium wearing the green and gold? Do you remember what that felt like?
So it was really an amazing experience. The largest crowd I played in front of in high school was maybe about 75 to 100 people. And so you can imagine if anybody has ever been to a Notre Dame game, I mean, not only are there tens of thousands of people, but, you know, you have millions of people watching it on TV. So my first game was in 1988, and we played the University of Michigan. We were at Notre Dame. And so you can imagine the historic importance of Notre Dame playing Michigan. And it was the first game at Notre Dame under the lights. So they actually had portable lights set up. It was a huge game. I think we wound up winning by like a point or something like that because Reggie Ho kicked like 100 field goals or something like that. But that was the first game I had ever played. And I was so nervous that I think I jumped off sides like about maybe 3 or 4 times.
Bob, questions for Chris?
Yeah, Chris, again, it's an honor to have you on the show. And I was looking at your old high school, Chicago Vocational, and I noticed that Dick Butkus, who we've had the pleasure to talk to on this show, was also an alumnus there. And Keena Turner also. Have you ever had the chance to swap stories with these guys and run into them over the years?
Oh, I absolutely have. And I have a great Dick Butkus story. During that time in high school, I was also being recruited by the University of Illinois as well, where Dick Butkus went. And the head coach at the time, his name was Mike White. And I remember seeing Mike White's office. And we were talking about the opportunity I would have at Illinois, and the phone rang. And he answered. I thought that was kind of rude. I was like, wow, you know, we're having a conversation, and he kind of answered the phone. That's great. Wow, you know, I don't understand that. So he said, oh, Chris, it's for you. And my first thought was, why is my mom calling Mike White's office? This is so embarrassing. And so I took the phone and said, hello. He said, hey, Chris, how you doing? It's Dick Butkus. So obviously at that point I wanted to go to U of I. So it was just an amazing, amazing experience. So I've had a chance to talk to both him and Keena Turner. And it's great because there's such a rich, rich tradition with Chicago Vocational, and college and professional football. It's great.
And Chris, we often talk about our guests, their draft day. And, this, I would think playing for the hometown Bears it just kind of probably blew your mind when it happened. You were the 49th pick, but what were your expectations that day of going into the draft? And did it ever occur to you that you might stay right in your backyard?
Never. As a matter of fact, I have another story about my mom. I was a senior in high school, and Mike Ditka was the speaker at a All-State banquet that I attended. And before the event, my mom and I came about a half an hour early. We were waiting in the lobby of the hotel. Mike Ditka was in the hallway by himself. He was in the lobby by himself. My mom was sitting there. My mom said, hey, there's Mike Ditka. Go say hi. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm 17 years old. There's no way I'm going to say hi to Mike Ditka. He's the head coach of the Chicago Bears. So my mom goes over there, of course, embarrasses me, talks to him for a couple minutes, and then waves me over. So I go over there. I'm like, how you doing, Chris? He's like, hey, Chris, how you doing? Congratulations. So we're talking a little bit. And for some reason, I said, please remember my name in 4 years. Right? So like that would never happen. So, of course, on draft day, he calls. And not that he would remember that. I mean, he didn't remember that conversation. But he asked me how I would feel to be a Chicago Bear. And, you know, for any sports fans out there, I don't care what sport it is, if you've ever had a team that you loved as a kid growing up, and all of a sudden you had a chance to play for that team, I don't care if you're a Yankee fan, if you're a Mets, I mean, whatever it is, Chicago Bulls, any team you imagine, the Lakers, any team you can imagine, you're a fan, and all of a sudden you had a chance to play for them. And I played for them for 7 years. It was a great, great honor.
So take that to the next step, Chris. You go to training camp, and now all of a sudden you're putting on the Chicago Bears uniform. Surreal moment? What was that like?
It was an absolute surreal moment. It was an amazing situation, but at the time, I wasn't the biggest defensive back in the league, so I was more nervous about making the team than anything else. And until I made the 53-man roster, when I kind of pinched myself and realized that, hey, I'm actually a Chicago Bear. But it was great because I had idolized Mike Singletary, who was the middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears, and he won the Super Bowl with the Bears and went to Baylor. And I patterned my playing style after him, and I wore his jersey number in high school and also in college. So I actually had a chance to play with him for 2 years. So that was an amazing experience. So you're talking about, again, having a chance to live the dream of playing with your idol, but also playing for the team that you grew up worshiping.
So to that point, Chris, you know, you mentioned playing alongside Singletary. I mean, you get there in 91. I mean, that Bears defense still had not only Singletary, but Richard Dent and Steve McMichael and William Perry. Our friend Mark Carrier was going into his second year at that time. Another good friend of the show and a guy who joined us last week, Wendell Davis, also a part of that team. What was it like for you showing up at training camp, trying to make a name for yourself, playing along those guys?
Well, it was just an unbelievable experience. And I think most of the time I just sat back and watched, because you're talking about a Super Bowl MVP. You're talking about people like Walter Payton, who, although retired in 1990, he still hung out at the Bears facility. So having a chance to see him, having a chance, and I knew Mark from playing at USC Southern Cal. So, I mean, these are people that not only did I watch and admired, but I also played with some of them as well. So it was a great experience for me to just kind of sit and admire and just kind of pinch myself, because I was such a fanboy. I mean, you know, as a little kid, I had like a Bears jacket and a Bears hat. And so these are things that I remember, my mom and I watching the game together and her throwing her slippers at the game because somebody fumbled the ball or something like that. So these are situations I remember. Now all of a sudden I'm part of that team. So it was just a surreal experience. And I really didn't kind of make my mark until my second year in the league.
And Chris, you mentioned Mike Ditka, and you had an opportunity to play for Ditka for your first two seasons in Chicago before he left. What was it like being coached by Ditka?
Well, again, I'm another living legend for me. And I think the reason why he was so successful is because he played the game. And he played the game when men were men, right? And so people, I mean, he came from, you know, a blue collar town, and that's the way he coached. And so players knew that what he said, he met. And because he had success as a player, that really kind of solidified his ability to motivate us as a team. Because it's one thing if a person tells you to do something and it's an idea that they have, but it's another when somebody has lived that experience and you understand the sacrifices that that person made. So they know what you can and can't do and what you're capable of. So literally that's why folks love playing for Mike Ditka, because he's a player's coach.
Bob, one more for Chris.
Sure, Chris. And back to Notre Dame just for a minute, and the whole educational experience there. You always struck me as a very tough, cerebral player. And obviously later in life, you went on with advanced degrees, et cetera. But talk about the education at Notre Dame and how it prepared you for life after football.
Well, you know, it was one of those important things that the reason why I went there was because of the educational aspect. I never thought I'd play at the school, let alone play on the next level. So having an opportunity to understand and know what it means to receive a degree from the University of Notre Dame is extremely important. Not only from the alumni base, but really it's the practice and that experience of the having the discipline and the camaraderie that you have in a dorm. So the idea that you have a chance to share experiences with people from all over the country that you would never meet if you hadn't attended the school was important. But it's one of those things where, you know, people talk about, well, hey, can Notre Dame ever be successful on the football field because of the hard academics? Well, you know, it's one of those questions that you have to really kind of think to yourself and say, well, we are college athletes. We are student athletes. We're supposed to be students first. And so taking an understanding, and the University of Notre Dame has done that. And they understand that they can have success, but also be a top-notch academic institution as well. And I don't think a lot of schools understand that.
Chris, before we let you go, I believe you got some events coming up with our friend Irv Smith and some things you're doing with him and some of the other great players. What do you got coming up on your calendar?
Yeah, we're very excited about that. This is my first time I'm ever going to have a chance to go to Ireland. And for next year's Navy game that's going to be in Ireland versus Notre Dame, myself, Irv Smith, Wesley Pritchett, Sam Smigala, we're going to have a chance to kind of hang out with fans as we play golf in Ireland, which is going to be an amazing, amazing experience. I'm very excited about that.
Chris, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing and follow you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Sure. Well, the first thing is they can just kind of look out for my website. It's just chriszorch.com. And as far as the social media part, just at Chris_Zorch for Twitter. And Instagram is at Christopher Zorich. You know, it's just one of those things where I'm trying to do what I can, kind of let people know what we're doing. I'm excited that I have a chance to really kind of make a difference in my community, but more importantly, have a chance to kind of inspire others.
Well, Chris, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come and be a part of this show. We hope you'll come back and join us again soon. Share more of your stories and insights with us. You've been great as a guest tonight.
Please come back.
Well, Bob and Chris, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. I know it's my first time on your show. I look forward to more.
Absolutely. As well. Take care, Chris. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Take care, Chris.
You got it. Thank you much.
Good night.
That is Chris Zorich. And then, Bob, you want to talk about a guy who is as well decorated a college and pro player. Boy, I mean, we talked about it at the top of the show. We talked about it in his introduction. You know, Lombardi Awards, you know, a College Football Hall of Fame. He's, you know, Walter Camp, all-time college football team. Had a Pro Bowl season in 93 in the league. Won a national championship. Probably was playing for another against Colorado in 91. But a guy that's, had an amazing career.
Yeah, such an incredibly well-rounded guy too, Chris. We didn't even get into any part of his life, really, because again, this guy, we can do a show just on his charitable stuff, his Christopher Zorich Foundation, and then of course he went into athletic administration. We're gonna need a few shows to get into his head a little bit, Chris. But what a great guest!
Yeah, really looking forward to catching up with him and having him back on with us as well. All right, we've got our next guest, Chris Miller, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Chris on the other side of this real quick station break.